Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie. We're back again.
I hope so. Yeah, we took 1 week off because we had technical difficulties. Yes,
but not really us,
right? And so hopefully we're back in play and getting downloaded and all that good stuff. And
yeah,
and
but Gee, can I say something? Are you a bot?
I am not a robot per se. I feel that my life has been spent lately just wondering, is this person on the other end really a person who's crazy, or is it a Russian bot trying to make me feel crazy?
I know
just trust the world.
We bought something on eBay yesterday or a couple days ago, and it was a simple transaction.
Yes.
But the perhaps bot on the other side of this transaction was making it extremely difficult.
Right.
And at one point contacted you and
so at
he
that
said
point
to you,
I said, this no longer is a bot.
Yes, that's
once
true.
Once he called me,
well,
I had
perhaps,
to go, I don't know.
Perhaps.
We don't know for sure.
I have had bots call me on the phone.
Yes, you have.
They do say things a little differently.
Yes, they did. And he said things a little differently.
The first thing he said to you was, are you a crook?
Right. Not even say hi.
And you went, hi, this is Julie. And he goes, you didn't answer my question.
He asked me twice. Okay, let's tell the whole story, though. Because
are you willing to?
Well, kind of, I guess. You're kind of hopping in there.
I am, but okay, let's do it.
I mean, I don't know where you're, I feel like.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, no, so here's a dealio. Mom has this beautiful recumbent bike that she's had for a couple decades.
About 30 years.
30 years. Now, what's very interesting, because everybody knows out there that if you buy exercise equipment, typically it is a nice clothes hanger. You know, you throw your clothes on it. But this piece of equipment gets used every single day.
That's true.
It's part of your life. It's low profile.
Right.
It's right in front of your bed, which is in front of the TV.
Right.
So you're like, you must put two hours a night in just sitting, watching The Housewives and biking.
Right.
Or to beat Bobby Flay. You like that. You've got your ritual.
Yeah.
It started to get a little wear.
It started every time I went around.
It'd be clunk, 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 clunk,
clunk, clunk.
No one wants to fix this bike because it's old.
And it's loud.
Yeah.
That clunking is loud.
And I just did a botched search.
But let me say, no one does want it. We did do a dive. And we went to a Schwinn shop.
Yeah.
And the guy was very disinterested in us.
Very disinterested.
And said, well, how old is this thing? Well, probably 25, 30.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they make parts for it anymore.
Yeah.
So even if you paid me to open it up and look at it, I couldn't buy parts for it anymore.
And you're like, okay.
So, okay. Thank you for your help, sir.
So, yeah. Thank you for being, and this is the thing too.
Thank you for being a good Schwinn
dealer. In this new world, you could actually beg people to help you and want to pay them.
Yeah.
And still get no satisfaction.
No, I'm not looking for your kind of sale, lady.
Exactly.
And so then we called in a bike dealer who said, I know of
a little more friendly. Yeah,
a little more friendly. I don't do it, but I know of an old gentleman that might be able to take on the project.
Yeah.
So
great,
we called the number, didn't get the guy, but left a message. The guy actually called back.
Friendly dude.
The friendly codger.
Yes.
Called back and we told him our dilemma. And he said, well, you know, I'll probably be able to help you, but my wife just got out of open heart surgery.
Yes, I'm
caring
for her.
And I'm caring for her now. But if you could maybe take a picture, find the number. Well, this bike is so old that there is no number, whatever.
We don't know where it's at.
We don't know where it could possibly be.
But in the process of trying to search for this number, because the gentleman said, turn it upside down. But
sometimes that number
is on the bottom
of
the bike.
On the bottom of the bike.
So by me turning it upside down and moving it around, the noise went away and it was fixed.
It truly fixed my problem.
I fixed your problem temporarily.
For 3 days.
For 3 days. And then it started doing the same thing.
Clink, clink, clink.
And then
clink,
you did it again. Did it work?
Yes.
Okay. So then you had Normano turn the bike upside down.
Yes.
And then once again, it worked.
Yes.
Now, at this moment, though.
Right.
I said, I'm just going to Google search or Bing. I always use Bing. I don't know why.
Right.
I'm a Bing girl. I don't know. Don't know why.
You're a Bing cherry girl.
Yeah. And I put in Schwinn 205P recumbent bike. And wouldn't you know it? A little bike unopened in a box on eBay was for sale in Ohio. I go, what? So I purchased that bitch right away.
ASAP.
ASAP. It was, he wanted $200, which I thought was pretty much a pretty big amount for a 20-year-old bike, but it was never opened.
The box was never opened. I mean, it was $189, something like that.
Yeah. Right. $189. And I thought it was a bargain, to be honest with you.
I did too, because they're literally, the new ones are like $800.
Yeah.
And that's what I paid for this one 30 years ago.
And what you wanted, because this one's so low profile,
yes,
it can go in front of your bed, right, and you never see
never
it.
Never see it. The other new stuff is like big, and they have the big computer.
And you got handles that move, and you're like, I just want to sit in my...
I just want to sit and kind of move.
I want to sit while I watch TV, yeah, and bike.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. Yeah. And then, so I thought it was a miracle. Find this. I literally thought my angels.
We praise Jesus.
I praise Jesus. My angels went out on the web and searched and brought this bike to me, and I bought it right away.
In the whole world.
Yes.
There's one unopened. Bus from 30 years ago.
And it was ours. And at the exact moment when you needed it,
at the
it
exact
was there.
Moment. Because the day before,
it wasn't there.
They
had searched.
Just listed it.
They had an old one that the guy wanted $99 for in California.
Right. It was used.
And it wasn't exactly the same, but it was similar enough. I'm like, well, this wasn't 205P. It was 205D. Yeah. You know, I'm like, yeah. This one was 205P, never opened in a box.
Right.
But I never would have thought or imagined that it would have taken me on this journey.
It was a deep rabbit hole journey.
Yes.
Into botland.
You say botland, but I call it conspiracy paranoia land.
Yeah, paranoia.
I don't know if I've actually dealt with any bots.
No,
per se.
No, you're right. It was paranoia, because I'm sure the people that you dealt with bots before or something.
Something had led them to believe.
Yeah.
And I also felt like, well, hey, dude, don't sell on eBay if you're going to be behaving like this.
But see, that's us, because we've sold on eBay.
Yeah.
This guy's brand new.
15. He sold 15 items.
Yeah.
Or bought 15 items. One or the other.
One or the other. Yeah. So, in his whole lifetime.
Right.
Yeah.
So here is the dealio. So I buy it. I then send him a really wonderful email saying, hey,
which is typical Julie.
Yeah.
Which is like this. This is not what consumers usually do. I am so grateful to have bought your thing.
Yeah.
You are an answer to a prayer.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you my story.
Right. And
that's like, to me, I'm like going, oh, she's sending up red flags.
No, but I said, I will pay to have it shipped.
Yeah.
And then I get a letter back.
No, before you got it back, you got a refund.
You refunded it.
He saw a refund.
And I'm like,
come through.
He goes, it's going to cost $100 to ship. I'm like, fine, done.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I will pay UPS to come to the door and pick up the package.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
And then you got later on, you got another email.
Yes.
That said,
no, I can't stop you from picking this package up.
I cannot stop you.
But I want to get cash for it in small bills. Which is very weird. Small bills.
And that was like in bold print.
Yeah, in small bills, please. And then you can pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay, Ohio. I'm a semi driver. The truth of the matter is, I can do this on my, you know, standing on my head. You know, in a van. Hallelujah. I get to drive a van instead of my semi.
Exactly, yeah.
I get to go 75 miles an hour where I usually go 65. That's awesome. This is good.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful day. And I'm like, I can do this in one day. It'll be fine.
Guys, this is Julie. And God bless you. 1,000 miles.
I drove 1,000 miles
a day.
Yesterday. In one whole day, I drove 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
The last 100 was punchy for me.
Yeah, you called and you're like, I'm about done.
Well, because you gave me parameters, which was, do not purchase anything to eat or drink on the road.
Because you're traveling three different states. Three COVID states.
I just want an effing glass of ice with iced tea. I just want a big. And so at my last stop in Indiana.
You said, fuck you, mother.
I said, fuck you, mother. I go in. I buy me a bottle of iced tea.
And you are in Illinois at
this
point. Oh, you're in Indiana.
I'm in Indiana.
Okay.
I'm at the last turnpike, or last, you know, toll road exit where you can get your stuff around the highway.
Okay.
And I got me an iced tea. And I got me a big glass of ice,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoyed every moment of that.
Yeah.
And some shortbread cookies. I don't care. And then I was happy.
Yeah.
And I got home, because I started to get a little too punchy. I didn't want the night in a hotel room. That was just ridiculous.
No. I didn't want you to either. Not because of
COVID.
It was, yeah.
I understand.
I'm like, oh, Jill's going to be touching the clicker in her hand. And
but
then
we kind of jumped ahead again. So
yeah, we did.
The end of the story is I got my damn bike.
Okay. Yeah. But let's go back into the story, though.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oh, I just got a text from David L. That's another story we'll share with everybody real quick. But so anyway,
you repurchased it.
He said you can do this by repurchasing it, putting it in your cart, and then I will send you an invoice to pay and pick up, mm-hmm. which I did. And then he gave me another refund. And he said, we can't do it this way. And in the meantime, I am calling eBay and I said, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
And finally they said, we suggest that you don't purchase this off eBay and give the guy cash.
Right.
You need to buy it through eBay.
Yeah.
That's our final line.
Yeah.
And then I finally said, this is literally back and forth.
Yeah.
Because at this time, I'm trying to just stay in a positive energy.
Right. We're like positive energy.
Right. Because my end going is I want this bike. However, if I don't get this bike, it ain't the end of the world.
No.
I'll keep tipping the bike upside down
right.
so Mom can have it the next 20 years.
Right.
That's fine. However,
thank you for giving me 20 more years, girlfriend.
I'm giving you 30, but
right.
I know the bike has probably been here for 30.
Yeah.
They may come with something a little lower profile in 20 years. I don't know what's going on with equipment, but why it has to get bigger.
Bigger and bigger.
You want something very low profile.
Yeah.
That you can just kind of slide out and sit on it.
I just don't understand, you know.
Yeah. And those little ones that are just pedal only are bullshit.
Scary.
They're just bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's like, you need a real bike.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, if you guys have those, just the pedals for 25 bucks and they work for you,
yeah.
kudos to you.
Right.
Swear to God, kudos.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, send him an email. I go, here are our three options. You allow me to pay this, to buy this through PayPal, through eBay. You get your money then, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I said, you maybe make a deposit on eBay and I pay you the rest. Three, I just give you, we go off eBay and I just come and pick up the bike and I pay you on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, just come Saturday. Then he calls me and I go, and if you don't mind, please, can we talk off, you know, because I'll be driving a little ways. I mm-hmm. want to make sure I'm able to call you in case I have a problem or get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls me about a half hour later and I go, hi. And it says from Ohio. So I know it's him. I go, hi, how you doing? I go, this is Julie. And nothing, dead silence. And he says something like, I'm like, oh, I'm not understanding this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hi, are you the guy from eBay? I'm like, what the hell? And I go, oh, I'm Julie. I'm the person who wants to buy the bike. He said, you didn't answer my question. Are you a crook? I go, oh, that was your question. Are you a crook? I go, I'm so sorry. I go, and I started laughing. I go, I did not think that was your question. I didn't understand you because that's kind of like an interesting question to say first thing.
Yeah, not
I
to
said,
say
but,
hello.
I go, but no, I'm not a crook. But however, if you're afraid of that, I can pay through PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want PayPal. I want cash.
In
small bills. I go, that's fine. But mostly I'm taking the risk.
Right.
I go, because you can't give me the bike unless I give you cash.
You're not, you.
So I should ask, are you a crook?
The bike is still in a box.
Yeah. I go, but, and I said,
so we haven't seen it.
No. I go, sir, I want to tell you one thing. He goes, what? He goes, I'm willing to jump through these hoops because my mom loves her recumbent bike. It is the exact model that you have. And yours is brand new in a box, and hers has lasted her 20 plus years. So I'm willing to do this for my mom.
And you also say, I'm thinking that this bike is probably 20 years old.
And I'm thinking this bike is at least 20 years old. Am I correct in saying that? And he goes, yes.
Yes. And why is that?
I go, I said, why? I go, did you buy it at a garage sale? And he goes, no, I had a store a long time ago where I sold equipment. And I closed the store up and I still had this inventory. I'm like, wonderful. I go, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Because I want this bike.
Yeah.
No, but I go,
hoops.
I go, honestly.
Through.
So that's why I'm willing to jump through this hoop. Because I pretty much know that this bike will give me 20 plus years of pleasure.
Right.
And he goes, I can't stop you from coming out here. I go, no, you can't. I mean, you can if you don't want to sell me the bike.
Right.
He goes, no, I want to sell you the bike. I'm like, great. I will be there between 2 and 4, and I will call you an hour before I get there.
Right.
And he goes.
And can I say something? He lives in an interesting named town.
Paynesville, Ohio.
And it's not spelled P-A-Y-N-E.
No.
It's spelled P-A-I-N.
Yes, but yeah.
Paynesville.
And so that's. I was nothing but in pain during this time.
Yeah, but and so Julie gets there.
Yes. And we're talking about, I thought to myself.
There's a little show on A&E.
Called The Hoarders. Or Hoarders Buried Alive, depending on if you're watching LLC, you know, the Learning Channel or TLC, whatever. And I go, one of those two. And I get there and my first thought was a nice enough neighborhood. You know, I mean, like, you know, older community, older homes. And I'm a little ticked off because he neglects to tell me that he has a corner lot and that his driveway, you can't pull into his driveway. And I can't pull to the side of the road in the street. We're on two
major.
There's
no parking.
There's no parking.
He's at a corner of two major intersections.
Yeah. And in like a kind of populated area, there's homes around. So I end up driving around the block and calling him. I say, hi, I'm here. Where do you want me to park? I go, because I don't know what to do. And he goes, pull into my neighbor's lot, my neighbor's driveway. She'll be no problem. I'm like, okay. I remember seeing a neighbor's driveway. It looked like it was part of his. I'm like, great. As I'm pulling in, she wants to pull out. Now, I will share this with you.
What in the world?
The neighbor's house, this is a very moderate neighborhood. They do the best to keep the houses up. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about this neighborhood, everyone's cars is filled with crap. I mean, like bags and stuff. Like everything looks like they store everything in their cars. Mm-hmm. And this neighbor is pulling out.
That's like the Canadian bathtub.
Yes, exactly.
You know, the Canadians store everything in their bathtubs.
Yes. Now, I like to take a picture of our bathtub because you'd be shocked what Normano stores in his
paper.
Toilet paper. Exactly. He stores the toilet paper. Yada, yada, yada. Mm. So we're doing this. And yada, yada, yada. Mm. So we're doing this. And as I'm pulling in, this woman or somebody is pulling out an old pickup truck or
like a truck?
Oh, like an old, not minivan, but like a station wagon filled with, like, can't see out of the windows sort
right.
of stuff.
Right.
And so he just says, drive into my front yard. So I pull into his front yard.
Right.
Which is fine. It's been dry, yada, yada, yada. So, and I'm starting to freak out because I'm like going, oh, these people are really hoarders. I mean, mm-hmm. they have pockets of stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. The two old cars in their driveway are filled with stuff. The garage door is half open, which is always a bad sign.
Yeah.
And you can see it lined with stuff.
I'll tell you why it's always a bad sign for me.
Tell me why.
It usually means kitty cats.
Yeah. Or animals just living in and out
just
of the
animals.
Garage.
Like, here, come into our garage.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Boxes, I know this to
rats,
be true. If we
mice,
had, if we leave our cats. Garage door open for half a day,
yeah.
we will Whoa. Have chipmunks.
Yeah.
We might have a rogue
squirrel.
Raccoon, a squirrel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I
turkeys.
Hello, I wouldn't blame the animals. It was my idiotic job to leave the garage door half open.
Yeah, Dad left the not only the garage door open, but he left the door to the house open.
Now, come on. We have done that once in our life when we were kids.
Yeah.
You guys did that once.
Yeah.
And we had birds in our house.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Dad, we don't know if we have a bird in the house here. We could.
Great.
I don't know where he's at.
But. Oh, geez. So, I mean, we could have a wasp, you know.
For sure, yeah.
They're the things. But, so I meet the gentleman and his wife, and nice enough, they want to take a picture of me to verify, because this is Ohio law.
Well, yes.
I'm like, okay.
The first thing, you have the money.
I have the money.
Small bills. Well, 20s.
20s. You said you want to do it in 10s, and I said go for it, because I don't want to deal with it when I get there.
And put it all together for
you.
Yeah.
And
so you hand it to him, and he hands it to his wife.
Yeah.
And he makes her count it.
Yes. And they're both an older couple. And you ask me, well, what's older? And I go, I'm not sure anymore. Probably in their early 70s. But
oh, really?
I don't know. It could be the early 60s. Could be their early 80s.
Mm-hmm. What?
I don't know. Because they looked...
Just old.
Yeah. And like older, but not like in the game. Like everything is too much.
Yeah.
And then I talked to the wife just briefly. I said, yeah, I said, you know, I consider this a gift because this is the exact thing I want. I go, and they told me I could open it up there. I said, I'm not opening it up. This thing literally is stapled professionally shut. Mm-hmm. It is obviously a brand new box.
Right.
I go, how come you guys have this again? She goes, we had a store that we closed down years ago and we just got old fast. That's exactly what she said. And I thought, that's what you look like.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Yeah.
And the world turns you old fast.
Yeah.
Not because old is bad, but we know what that connotation means.
It's a checkout.
It's like
you check out.
Everything in my life became too hard to manage and we had to just check out.
Yeah.
I mean,
the idea that you're a crook.
Right.
Like, because you're willing to drive.
Right. I'm willing to do something out of the ordinary
right.
to get something that I really truly want.
Right.
Which is true. I really, truly wanted this.
Yeah.
I couldn't get anything I wanted anywhere else in the world.
I know.
I knew if I came home with this box, I'd go, I got exactly what I wanted.
I know.
I would have preferred you to go and let UPS pick it up and ship it.
Yes, but you weren't willing to do that.
You weren't willing to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably could have paid UPS to come pick up the damn box.
Put our name on it
yes,
and everything.
I would have been willing to give them $125.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or even, I don't know. But instead, you weren't willing to do that. I have a car that can do it. So it's like, hey, nope, I have a car that
you
can.
You have a car and you have a heart.
And I have a heart. And I know how to play podcasts so I can entertain myself.
Yeah.
But I'll say that right now, the last hour and a half were a little bit too much for me. And when I came home.
That trip from Oak Brook on.
Yeah.
Is a tough one.
Because you
that
think
highway,
you're home.
Yeah.
You think you're home. And you're like, oh, no, Julie, you're not home. You're still an hour over 100, like
you're like
80
an hour
miles.
From DeKalb.
Yeah.
And then once you hit DeKalb, you're not, you know, you're Rochelle.
And you're like, ah. Oh. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, that's right. I live in the middle of nowhere. So I am no longer a suburban
what
girl.
What I love about this then is that as Julie hands the money over, he decides he needs to take a picture of Julie.
He took a picture of because me. And I had to sign a thing.
It's Ohio law.
Yes, it's Ohio law that I sign that I have given them money and I have picked up this bike and they're taking a picture of me. I'm like,
and you mugged for it in your mask and gloves.
I had my mask on and I had gloves on and I went big and smiled like, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm taking a picture of my bike in a box. I'm like, this is the strangest thing I've ever.
And you should, I said at that point, you should can I take a picture of your house?
And I just took a picture of his house. I didn't even ask.
Oh, you did? Oh, that's so cool.
I'm in the car.
Yeah.
He's taken two pictures of me.
Two.
And I think a picture of my license plate.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, that's fine. These guys are not going to do anything with it. I don't think they're going to, quote unquote,
open up a credit card
yeah,
account
that's
for
not
your,
happen.
In your name.
Right.
I don't know, but yeah.
They could be Soviet.
Total gamers.
Yeah, they could be Soviet.
Plotting. And that's at some point, you were the one that activated them.
Yes, exactly. now they're just like,
yeah,
you know, ready to go. And I appreciated, though, that they were trying, that they actually put this on eBay.
Yeah.
That was pretty impressive of them.
It really was.
Yeah.
Because he had no knowledge of anything.
No, this was more than he could bear.
Yeah.
And it's weird because we have sold cars and purchased cars on eBay. I have literally driven to...
What's the farthest you've driven? Florida? No.
I've driven to Texas for a car.
Yeah,
I've
Texas. Also,
but that didn't feel as far as driving to Connecticut. That was a long drive.
Yeah, that was a long haul.
That was a haul. But I love my Mercedes.
Yeah.
I love my car. You know? I mean, here's a dealio. I have for my secondary car, for my car that I don't drive very often, I like it to be a quote-unquote luxury car.
Yeah.
And I don't want to pay more than $5,000 for it.
Sunroof.
I get a sunroof. I got leather seats. Mm-hmm. Everything works. The radio is a little shittier than I would like. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it's the best car I've ever
What's
owned.
Really interesting is that the people that owned it before you kept the sticker.
Yes.
And it was in 2006 or 7. It was
$68,000.
$68,000 or
$69,000. I still keep that sticker. Yeah. I'm like, I
don't every time you get
car.
Inside. Yeah.
This car.
Yes.
Well, because of us being truck drivers, we have no problem spending over $60,000 or $70,000 for a semi.
And more.
And more, right? Yeah. Sometimes we're paying, you know, we're just that's what you do.
Yeah.
It is hard to pay good money for a vehicle.
You can't, because it's just a vehicle.
Like, what are you going to do with this vehicle?
It
like,
just
what
gets you from point A to point B.
It doesn't make me any money. Yeah.
It's nuts. This vehicle costs me money?
Yeah.
It doesn't make me money?
But Doug always likes driving with my car. He hates my white car. He likes it. There's lots of room. He just says, Julie, every time I get in your car and we go for a ride, I literally feel I'm 75 years old. And I go, I think that's what the demographic was for this car, because it sits low. The seats are so incredibly comfortable. Yeah. There's so much room.
Yeah, and there's a lot of window room, too.
A lot of window room. Yeah. There's enough space for golf clubs in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, but babe, just realize we're driving in luxury and I only paid $5,000 for it. I go, so I don't really care what you think. This is a great car.
Yes.
A great car. And I'm very happy with it. So talk to the hand.
F you.
Because I just have a hard time paying real money for vehicles that lose value right off the bat.
As soon as you
especially own them. When we have to spend good money on a semi that will make us money.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
But it was so weird, though, to have a gentleman call me a crook right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
and well, still not, and you know, I would have said, F you, canceled it, and just kept turning my bike over.
Yeah. And I just kept saying, well, we had listened to Sam. You had done a meditation with Sam.
Yeah.
And
was it the Cohen one?
No, you had said the world either is coming towards you,
right,
or you're going through it.
That's right.
And I thought, well,
I'm choosing to go through it. The world.
Yeah. And I think to myself, I do have boundaries in the sense of.
I did ask you that. I said, where's your line in the sand, Julie? But it was so sweet because she goes, Mom, if I can get this for you,
if I can do this for you, it will make me happy.
Yeah.
I didn't care about you being happy.
Yeah.
I go, this will make me happy.
Yeah.
Because I know it'll make you happy
yes.
to have this bike here.
It did. Yes.
There are very few times in your life that you can get somebody exactly what they effing want.
Yeah. And go back into the past.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's a brand new, honey. 30-year-old bike.
Yeah. That brand new 30-year-old bike.
Yeah.
Never taken out of that package.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really felt like this was the evidence I needed to believe that the future can be can change the past.
Yes. 100%.
Because
timelines change.
Timelines change.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the odds that he put this on day one?
Yeah.
It wasn't there the day before.
No, because
I had looked.
Checked. Yeah.
And it was on there now, and I bought it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, like, you always ask me, Julie, what about the future? I go, Mom, I have to tell you, what we will always need will always be right there, because when we bought our new semi, it literally was a miracle.
Yes.
I'm going to call it that.
Some
people will call it lucky or coincidental because we had a truck that we did not like, but that we were into.
Yeah.
We had purchased recently and we didn't realize how much it just needed, was in disrepair. Mm-hmm. And it was going to cost us about $12,000 to $20,000 to repair.
Mm-hmm.
And not even a new engine.
We had put in
thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Well, imagine getting a truck. Brand new, I mean, a brand new vehicle for you.
Right.
Just buy it cash and then take it into the shop to have it tested and walk out with a over $20,000 bill.
Yeah.
And that was just the beginning.
And then lose work over it.
Yeah. And that was just the beginning.
And so we had gotten a call from our repair guys at the international dealer and they said it's going to cost about $12,000 to $20,000.
Yeah.
And not even a new engine.
No.
And you're like, and you take a deep breath. And then you just throw, I go, what if we got a different truck? And I said, give me 5 minutes. And I literally looked and I found one from the same dealership, but a different town.
Right.
Same owner, like.
Same branch.
Same branch. Yeah. You know, they own like 10 different international dealers.
Yeah.
And I go, I see one we like. It's got low miles. It's a sleeper. I go, it's $60,000. I think we could do this. It's got warranty on the engine. I think we can do this. Called our banker. He said, fine, it's yours, go for it. And within literally an hour, we had the financing, had the new truck, and we were good to go.
Within 48 hours, we were back on the road.
Which would have taken us 2 weeks to get the truck fixed.
It was going to take 2 weeks to get the truck. Within 2 days.
We were back on the road.
We were back
on
the road.
With a newer truck.
With a truck that has been
a blessing.
A blessing.
So
a huge, major blessing. And then when the warranty was up on this truck's engine, we bought a new one.
Yes.
A new warranty. And within 60 days, we needed a new engine.
Yes.
A $40,000 engine. And that little warranty that we bought paid for it.
And here's a dealio. We kept it. I mean, this is what life is. Life doesn't mean it's going to go easy.
No.
Because I was called a crook. I had to drive 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
The couple was a nice couple, mm-hmm. and I got my bike, and the world kept moving. I got exactly what I wanted.
You went through the world as opposed to letting the world
come to me.
Come through you, yeah.
And then maybe it's a collaborative thing, though, you know, because certainly I felt I was in this river, and I knew at some point I was willing to say.
But that was your filter, Julie.
Yes, that was my filter.
That's your filter.
That was my filter.
I want to honor that filter.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And then I went to, so then with the semi-dealio, I mean, we felt heartbroken initially about this other international that we bought.
Right.
And all the heartache and headache.
Right.
And then once we elevated, like, what if there's a better option? Mm-hmm. And there was. Had to do a lot of work. Didn't just fall on my lap, but it kind of did.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
You were working collaboratively with the universe,
yes,
at that point.
So I do know that we are working. I'm choosing to move forward.
But if it was a different, better, somebody else would have went, oh, this must be a sign that I'm meant to shut down.
I used to think that way. This is a sign from the universe that I'm not supposed to have this. Move on.
What I'm saying is that could be that couple.
Yes.
That's how they now see the world.
Like, this is too much hassle.
Yeah. This cannot be right.
No. And I'll tell you what, if they would have not taken my sale, it would still be up for sale on eBay, mm-hmm. and they would still have to be dealing with this issue.
Right.
If they wanted to sell it, they should just put it on Craigslist.
Yeah.
But can I tell you something? My little angel talked to their little angel, and they said, put it on eBay so
that's
right. Julie can get this bike for her mama.
Exactly.
And they go, I'm going to put it on eBay. Try it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what if it just worked like that?
Because literally, my bike started not working within a few days.
Yes. It hasn't been that long.
No.
And so I just said, well, and I go, we got to get you a new bike. Nothing out there is appropriate.
No.
Nothing out there. No brand new. And it's not like we're not willing to pay for it.
And it's not like we didn't do the research.
No. You want your old bike.
Yeah.
And I mean, wouldn't it be weird if we're in assimilation?
And we probably are.
But my intention to get this bike and someone's intention, like his wife might have gone, can we just please sell some stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody somewhere, a little angel said, put it on eBay. Mm-hmm. Not appropriate. He wanted cash. He should have put it on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. But he put it on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And just by chance, I did it.
Yeah.
So I have been putting out my little vibes to the universe and my...
your waves and your...
Can I talk?
Me talk?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Jill. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. You're done.
I'll be here all night.
I had told you a week ago. I said, I have had clues about IPOs. And I should have done it then. I mean, we did invest in Shopify.
Yeah.
But I really felt, I knew I should invest in Netflix.
We wanted Netflix.
At 10, when I knew I should have.
Yeah. But I didn't, because I kept thinking, how could, you know, this thing that we get little red movies in the mail, how could that ever be something?
And I wanted to do Google when it was still Google.
Yeah.
And Warren Buffett said, this is way overpriced. It was at $35 a stock.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it because I overrode my fucking self thinking, well, you know, this doesn't make sense. And I'm like, no, these are 10-year investments that you do this.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'm putting out to the universe, God, that be aware of the stock that's now, that in 10 years from now, are where the Netflix, the ABC, the Alphabet.
Right. The Alphabet.
You know, ABC, tell me. And then I had an idea. I mean, I absorbed. I'm like going, oh, there might be something here. I need to investigate this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask me, like, they tell you to buy this stock? I go, no, that's not how it works. You get an idea, like, oh, this is a new,
right?
This is a new thing.
Right.
They're doing things differently. And then I have to now investigate it, mm-hmm. and see.
Well, I like the one that was the Shopify of Asia.
Yes.
And now I know that I bought some.
Yes.
But I can't find it now. I mean, we
right, you didn't can't find we, out where to did, go.
Yeah, no, but didn't we look
yes.
at our stocks?
Yeah.
And we said, let's buy. I said I wanted to buy more.
Yeah.
And we can't find it.
Right.
But we know we bought it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, but there are just, there's just things going on that are just interesting right now. I'm like.
Like what?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about some IPO that was.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the names of them. Yeah. I'm just saying that. Well, I was listening to Sam Harris, and he was talking about how crazy technology is getting right now with this one woman. They're talking about the deep fake, how really we have the technology to create fake news, to create fake people looking at the fake news, mm-hmm. to then get real people looking at the fake news, mm-hmm. so that people go, oh, wait a minute, I'm part of this group.
Yeah.
And it really causes dissonance.
Right.
And that.
And they don't, people really don't understand that that probably, I don't know what the percentage is, but when you look at feedback under some kind of YouTube video, you are most likely looking at a bot, a person that does not exist, talking to other people that do not exist. Like, I've seen some YouTube videos where there'll be like maybe hundreds of stuff that'll go, oh, praise the Lord, Jesus is coming soon.
Yeah.
This has to be Jesus. And this, you, no, but I'm.
Yeah, I know.
But so it, you know, that's a huge amount of interaction putting that out there.
And is that person that wrote that, is that a bot or is that a real person really feeling that this is really information?
No. That's probably a bot that did the work.
Yes.
And then came up with this algorithm that said, please put this into the YouTube universe.
Right. And we say that it sounds crazy, mm-hmm. because what's going on with technology that's getting so good. Do you remember that movie? The Irishman, written by Scorsese and directed by Scorsese.
Sure.
Okay, it was 3.5 hours long. It was on Netflix. Yeah, it was 5 hours.
It was exceptionally long. Three nights for us.
And it was on Netflix. And the thing about it was, the whole big dealio was that they spent tons of money making everyone look younger because it was about the lifespan of these guys.
Yeah.
And then a week ago, a normal guy took the movie, used an app that he got for free, and it made everybody young again. And it took no time, and it was flawless. Where the movie had some flaws in it, like,
sure,
you know. But now technology has gotten so good,
just in the time that this movie was made.
So in the last 2 years, this new app came out and
really could make them look younger.
Yes. So they're saying within the next 2 to 5 years, mm-hmm. 10 years, mm-hmm. technology will be so good, people can make real sci-fi films.
Yeah.
In their homes,
yeah.
with their effing phone or their computer.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a really crazy rogue world out there.
Yeah.
But then consequently, nobody will know if it's real or not.
Right.
You can create anything fake.
Right.
And
well, the world is divided. You know, we live in a one and a zero world.
Right.
And the ones are the things that we can touch and see, you know, and the zeros are that as soon as you open up your laptop or open up your phone, you go into a zero world.
Right.
That's the world that most people are now living in.
Right.
They live in that world way over half the time that they're living in the real world.
Right.
And I think that's going to be make a huge impact on our lives. You better not have come down with a cold going.
I might have a cold.
Ohio.
I don't have COVID. And you know, well, it's interesting because, like, I'm going to tell you real quick, on the podcast I saw, it was Sam Harris. Where are you at, Sam Harris?
There is another good one that I listened to with Sam. Mm-hmm. He's interviewing Dr. I think it's James Doty, who's a neurosurgeon. And on compassion in healthcare and economy. So I could recommend that one.
Right.
And what's the one that you want to recommend?
I can't find it.
Oh, so, but no. It's Nora somebody, isn't it?
Yes. But anyway, this idea that, I mean, they talked about the deep fake, about how everything is getting so good now. And like governments are truly investing in messing with other countries' population to create dissidents.
And what government might those be, Julie?
Well, first off, Russia is a big player in this. And she used a phrase, which I love because comedians use this phrase a lot. Mm-hmm. The phrase is they can punch upward by they have the financial means to punch upward.
Yes.
Using this kind of dissidence.
Yes.
What does that mean? Yeah. They can't attack us on a bigger playing field. No. We'll crush them.
Yeah.
But they can attack the sanity of us people.
You bet.
They can create enough propaganda,
right,
and enough
overload if you're in that zero world.
Yes.
And then you and then even if you're not, you have to contend with people that are in that zero world and
yeah.
come out and have to put 18 million flags on their trucks.
Yes. Can I tell you
and
something?
Their boats.
Yeah.
And their farm equipment.
We used to really be big in conspiracy theories and it was fun.
It was great.
We
kind of considered it entertainment.
And I also kind of felt like I was privy to a world that was bigger than my own.
I would say it's about 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20. I mean, I was listening to this one woman talking about that we are having the 3 days of darkness coming really soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to this one gentleman, Swerdlow. I was actually on his TV show. You know, Swerdlow's.
Yeah, you saw that yesterday?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. This was, you're talking about
years ago. Got I was it. On his TV
yes,
show.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah. Was he on yesterday?
No, I just heard you.
Oh, okay. And like, but he was all about conspiracies and what the reality is and what the truth is. Mm-hmm. And the problem with conspiracies is that there is evidence that the U.S. government and people have made truly fucked up decisions.
Right.
You know,
telling us that UFOs don't exist.
Right. And then like, oh, by the way, we don't know what these crafts are. Like, okay, great. And guess what, U.S. government? The world kept moving.
We still had to get up the next day
and go to work. Yeah. I mean, that's what
we can handle it.
We can handle it.
Yeah.
We can handle the fact that you guys don't know what the fuck you're talking about because guess what? You're just like us.
Yeah.
There are new things coming down the path
right.
that we're all trying to figure out.
But at least tell us the truth as you know it.
Right. I mean, I'm still hearing that the conspiracy that that it was the COVID was created in a lab.
Right.
And they're saying, no, it's for sure created by animals.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that could be the same thing, guys. I mean, it is interesting that there was a WHOAN lab right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to believe. And you know what I know? I don't give a shit.
No.
This little conspiracy means nothing to me.
Right.
This means nothing to me.
No.
I mean, like, whether it was created in a lab or created, mm-hmm. you know, by two animals by chance mating or whatever they do.
Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's not where we're impacted by.
No. I think that's where I've come to the place because these conspiracies help me nothing except for information, slightly entertaining, irritating on a long trip, mm-hmm. kind of scary. And then I go, oh, by the way, Julie, you got to go to work tomorrow. By the way, Julie, you got to still care for people in your life.
Yeah.
And you got to care for yourself. Is this compassionate? Are you showing compassion today? How do we expand compassion in the world?
Right. And in addition, I would like to talk about compassion. But in addition, what we are here seeing is a global conspiracy theory now.
What is that?
Well, with the pandemic.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, we've got people who you've encountered people in a convenience store.
Yeah.
As you walk in with a mask going, oh my God, your mask is going to cause you to breathe in.
You're going
to
die from your mask.
You're going to die from wearing your mask.
You
Take
are going to die.
You're
going to die from wearing your mask. Do you know that your mask will kill you?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And these are adult people as well.
Yes.
But you've got.
I go, doctors wear masks during surgeries all the time. They're not dying on the floor.
Yeah.
But you've got
the impact of all of the...
Or I have walked into a place to get my truck fixed or for an oil change, walked in, and they said, a woman behind the screen who works there and a woman sitting in the bed goes, you don't have to wear your mask around here. We know they don't work anyway. And I'm like, oh, I thought we were all in agreement that they did work a little bit. You know, I'm not saying they're 100%, but they may help 20%, and 20% is not bad. I'm like kind of keeping it low.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Kind of like, yeah, that's okay. That's cool. I don't mind wearing it.
I don't mind wearing it.
I don't have makeup on today.
The truth is, I have gotten really used to wearing a mask, and I feel it's an equalizer for the rest of us who are not a 10 in the world. You know, there are women who are just 8, 9s, and 10s. I consider myself more like a 5, 6, 7 kind of girl. And mom's like, whatever. But I kind of feel like that.
You're 10 to me, girlfriend.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
10 plus.
I go, But with my pretty mask, my Ray-Bans, I feel like a 10.
And your pretty COVID hair.
And my pretty COVID hair, I feel like a 10. So sorry, I'm calling it an equalizer. I don't care. It is what it is. I mean, I've got one of my front teeth. It's just a slightly different shade than the other tooth.
I'm sorry about that.
I know.
That's your brother's fault, though, isn't it?
I know. He hit me with a golf cart, golf club. Accidentally. It was my fault because...
You walked into it.
I went behind him to look to see how he was swinging so good. Mm-hmm. I go, show me how you swing. I'll stay right behind you. And then, like, he went back. I went back. And then he swung and it hit me in the face. And I'm like, holy mother of God, that was not supposed to happen. That was totally,
oops.
That was totally moronic on my part. And I have no one to blame but myself. And, but my tooth just kind of died there a little bit.
Yeah.
I know I should be brave enough to think about spending 10 grand for my teeth, but that just feels like that's two Mercedes. I don't know. I don't know if I should or not, you know? So anyway, that's beside the point.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the mask for right now.
Yeah.
Okay. But yada, yada, yada. So we're right. We're in a global conspiracy now.
Yeah.
No one can agree on the truth.
No.
And the truth is, it's all slightly the truth.
Right.
The mask doesn't work 100% of the time, but it works enough.
And as much as a condom. And people would say, well, we don't trust science. And I'm just willing to say, I trust it as far as it goes right now.
Right, exactly.
And here's, I love the line when they go, if there's a vaccine, which is another conspiracy coming through now.
Right.
Because I don't know what the bots are telling, but most people now, because of the bots, would say they don't want to take a vaccine.
Right.
And which
well, supposedly the only vaccine that's getting closer to being distributed is a Russian is a Russian vaccine. Yeah. I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't know about that either. I'm thinking.
But I've actually heard, I listened to, which I'm amazed that it's still on YouTube, and it may not be now, but I'd heard a woman doctor who was on a New York Times bestseller list 8 times, and I followed her for years, say that this vaccine will have such nanotechnology is that it will be able to tell the cloud or whoever how many times you breathe that day, what your blood pressure was at any given point in the day, what if you had sex or not, if you what you were even watching, how much money you spent. It is basically will tell, you know, there will be no transparency. And once they
are only transparency.
Excuse me. Yes. Only transparency. And she was trying to imply that at the end of this, we would have to we would end up being a cashless society because everything that we would want would be either through facial recognition, thumb, something that, and there would be no real currency,
right?
You know, and you know, everything would just be zeros,
right?
Like you enter, so everything would just be books,
right?
And you know, what
and
I
it's,
mean?
It's interesting because
and it's a really different way of living.
And we've heard of this before, but we are getting closer to that.
That's exactly
that's
true.
The thing. I mean, we are moving in a weirder direction.
Yeah.
And
that's
I'm like,
because of the pandemic.
Yeah. And I'm like, perhaps. Well, maybe, and maybe that will happen. Maybe. And I know nothing moves, things move fast and then not fast.
Right.
That's just kind of how we have a big leap and then we kind of pull back a little bit.
And also it seems like the things that move forward come as like games and stuff first.
Right.
Like, oh, this is fun. Let's do this.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, we get to do this for real now and we drive through Starbucks without paying.
Well, you know, I was kind of, like, great. That works out. I like that. I'm cool with that.
I like it.
Yeah. But I wish I could still use my, like, I lost my password for my McDonald's app. And
yeah,
I tried to down.
You did.
And I've been trying to get it to go again, but I only do it when I'm in line. So I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, I forgot to do my password. So I can't get my coffee.
Free coffee.
Yeah. And then I just like, screw it. I'll pay the real price for the coffee. But can I tell you one real quick thing? This was, this is really embarrassing. So I listened to Sam Harris, the most recent podcast, Making Sense, was that woman about the fake news and
the
all
deep
that.
Fakes. The
deep fakes. Mm-hmm. New York Times has a podcast, a short pod, you know, I don't know how many episodes, but not a ton, called The Rabbit Hole. Mm-hmm. And it takes us through this one gentleman's conversion into the deep alt-right, and then back into the left. Very interesting story. And how YouTube basically corrupted him. Like, he was only getting fed more information they thought could keep his eyeballs on YouTube.
YouTube.
And so what happens is,
you like this, then you'll like
this. And that's
Netflix as well.
And you feel that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden you think the world is only, like somebody will say, it's all over the web. I'm like, what's all over the web? Yeah. You know, this information here. I go on the web every day and I have never heard this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh.
You know that the Democrats are pedophile pizza eaters with all the children in tunnels that are drinking their blood.
And then Donald Trump will save us.
And his cohort.
Yes.
His cohort is John F. Kennedy Jr.
He will save us.
17 and 18.
I have not heard this except for you telling me it's all over the web. That's interesting. Yeah. But what I did see was a Donald Trump about 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, partying with Epstein at a fucking party. And he and Donald Trump saying,
on YouTube?
No, I thought it was on the news.
Oh, okay.
It was on one of these
Newsies?
It might have been, but it was him partying and Trump, and then commenting about how beautiful the women were to Epstein.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, first of all, these women are a little too old for Epstein, first off.
Yeah.
But then I saw whatever Epstein's.
His cohort, yeah.
Yeah, Epstein's too old lover, you know.
Yeah.
At the wedding of
Chelsea Clinton. Yeah.
Now, they also say that Bill Gates knew Epstein, but they didn't have any photographs of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe you.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, I have heard Bill Gates talk. Mm-hmm. He is so, I think he's very myopic.
Yes. And compartmentalized.
And I don't think he's sex driven at all.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's like that. No. I don't think. It's like when you heard the guy from Prairie Home Companion had a Me Too scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'd like to know more about the information.
Me too.
And when you hear people talk about him and going, oh, he's kind of like on the spectrum, you know, people who know him, he goes, I don't buy that because he doesn't even shake hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he would, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Adam Carolla interviewing just by chance the niece of him, Prairie Home Companion guy, Garrison Keillor.
Mm-hmm.
She was married into the family. And she goes, oh my God, you're Garrison Keillor's niece? He goes, yeah, my aunt married him. And he put me on the stage. I play the fiddle or whatever.
That's cute.
And he always told me, never show up late, always come on time. He's always nice to me. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that's what I hear. I go, I just hear like this Me Too thing just doesn't seem right. And then one day he was just off the radio.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, I don't understand either. But he'd been wanting to retire for a while. And he just took it as a sign like, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm gone. No problem. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But we only got 3 minutes left of the show.
Okay.
As I know, we're just spewing a ton of weird stuff that we had to just get off our brain because it just
gotta get it off our chest.
Yeah.
And, our brain.
Yeah. Off our gentry. Thank you. And so here's my problem. They were talking about this thing called Gamergate. And it happened a couple years ago where this guy who creates games was dating in a long-term relationship with a woman who created games, and the woman wanted to create more socially correct games.
Mm-hmm.
And this had the gaming industry up in arms, and she was getting death threats and so forth like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept throwing the word SJW around, and the SJWs were all up in arms. And I'm SJW. I go, this sounds familiar, but why do I know this word? SJW. Do you know what it is?
Is the S for social?
Yes, but I thought it was single Jewish women. I go, why are the single Jewish women about gaming?
Yeah.
Why are they so about gaming?
All the single Jewish women?
Yeah, all the single Jewish women are all about gaming. And I go, this can't be right, but I couldn't make anything else fit in my brain
what
at that
was
time.
It?
Social justice warriors. And I'm like, oh, SJWs, social justice warriors.
Beware.
I just was for sure thought it was single Jewish women.
Yeah.
But I was wrong.
Yeah.
Was that making me a racist, though?
Because you're the single Jewish woman.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, maybe back in the day when we had to do, when we had a date. Yenta?
Yeah, you had to have a yentl.
Or you had a date and you had to put on, you know, in the ad, SJW, oh, single Jewish woman.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I would be a SCW, single Catholic woman.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. And then I maybe sometimes I'd go single C/A, sometimes agnostic. I'm not sure. You know.
Questioning.
Yeah, questioning. You know, woman, sometimes I feel like
cisgender, possibly.
Yeah, exactly.
Transitioning.
We're not sure. And that's why those ads are no longer available, because it would have been cost way too much money to put them in the paper.
To fit all your thing in one little box.
Single, I'm kind of in a monogamous
complicated.
Complicated. Yeah, complicated for C. Woman, a small W. We're not sure. You know, my hormones are fluctuating a lot lately. Yeah. Sometimes I just feel like blah. But what do you call blah? I don't know. You know. And sometimes I just want to go into my light body and just be.
Yes.
And just be.
Yes.
So, girlfriend, how was the show?
Oh, Julie, as always, it was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.